This is Russ Dizdar. This is the 19th of August, 2010. Listen, welcome to the Shatter the Darkness Radio Hour. This is for Thursday, August the 19th. And listen, we've got some, what do you do with the massive black stone that hundreds of thousands of Muslims come to? They want to touch it. They want to kiss it. Is it a meteor? Is it a miracle, a miraculous supernatural thing thrown out of the heavens? Is it of God or is it of the devil? We'll take a look at that today along with the satanic verses. We've been doing this series on the issue of Allah. Not so much a Muslim, but the issue of Allah, because, again, you can be Indonesian, you can be black, you can be white, you can be from any culture of the world, and engage Allah. Allah is real. Allah is a being. And in every description we understand, a spiritual being may be territorial, may be connected to the black stone. We will take a look today as we, move into the fifth of this series this week. On the shatterthedarkness.net website, there is the title of the theme, Light on the Entity Allah, Origins and Attributes. So there's the entire, series so far this week, and there's been some interaction, emails that have come in. We are, we understand in this supernatural hour that we present the message that the hand of God providentially, it's all about God embracing and calling anyone listening to the fear-removing, violence-removing grace and mercy of the living Christ. Died on the cross, buried, rose from the dead, just like the prophet said, just like Christ said, just like God said, just like the Spirit of God has testified to. Listen, I want to welcome all the believers in Christ that do listen. We're grateful that you're here. We're grateful that you pray. We thank you that you send in notes, that you're praying for us. And for those who have sent letters to the P.O. Box and also have said the same, that you send your prayers. Listen, we are grateful for the prayers. We are absolutely grateful. We are doing a brand new series on the shatterthedarkness.net website dealing with becoming powerful in prayer. And there's a couple of the MP3s already up. And the goal behind it is, again, just the biblical call, God's call, the possibilities, the privilege, the power, the necessity of becoming very, very, very powerful. So if you're a believer in Christ, listen, God has given an incredible gift, the privilege of the access that we have. Now, worship is awesome and is a great privilege and brings in the midst of our praise to God, God's manifest presence. Jesus said, when two or three gather in my name, there he would be in a real powerful manifested sense. Now, of course, if you're a believer, Christ is in you. Christ is with you. If you're involved in the great mission of reaching the world for Christ, Matthew 28, Jesus said he would be with us always to the very end of the age. So listen, my friends, let me say a clear word. You ask the Lord whether this is for you. It is not time to give up. God has never said, get up, give up, walk away, and wait to the end all drops. God wants us to be involved all the way to the end. I've been saying for some time now, and you've been hearing everywhere, that the dark side is ramping up. The dark side in unprecedented levels, in demonstrative supernatural levels, in the radical evil. And that's only what really the public can see and experience. The underground has grown so vast, so wide, so broad, that I believe that they are bulging at the seam. The Antichrist, the false prophet, and the regime, I believe, my opinion is in place. But God does restrain. And God does that for one reason, according to prophecy, a word of prophecy, the context of prophecy, 2 Peter 3, that God is patient. The reason why we don't have the second coming of the living Christ is God is patient, not willing that even one. It's a powerful Greek word there, bulimai, in the determined counsel of God, that he does not want anyone to perish, but all to come to salvation, to repentance. So if you're listening as a believer, there is great, massive work, the full presence, full blessing, full empowerment, and living activity of the Christ of the cross, whom you know, will be operative in evangelism. May even be operative right at this moment for those of you listening that don't know the living Christ, God's love, God's peace, God's forgiveness, God's gift of eternal life. And that's why you may be listening. And that is the compelling reason why I am here, to say that you can today know God personally, that the living Christ can come into your life, total forgiveness. He breaks the barriers, brings his power inside your life, gives the gift of eternal life, indestructible immortality, as we've said again and again. So even in the context of dealing with the issue of Allah, and we want to be very clear about our issue here. We're motivated in the fact that God loves the whole world, Arab, Israeli, the Chinese, the Russian, the American, the Canadian, all across. Everything in New Testament revelation, in the life of Jesus, you've got to understand, he says, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. So he seeks you. If you're lost, if you don't know God, he seeks you. It's about rescue. It's about redemption. It's about the fact that God wants you. And what was provided at the cross, may I ask all the Muslims? And I know that Wiccans and Satanists and others listen. I know that psychics and remote viewers and others listen, even those at Recon. Just keep looking at the cross. Let's ask the question, why the cross? Why the Savior? Why did they kill him? Why did they crucify him? Why the death? Why the burial? The resurrection? The ascension? Listen, everything the Old Testament spoke in advance, even the resurrection, prophesied 1,000 years in advance. The coming of Christ in the incarnation prophesied 700 years in advance, again and again. And so I'm saying, look at the life of Christ. And I know that this is a factor. This is a factor that many of those who are, and you know what you mean, what I mean, SRA, DID, those who've come from the deep, dark, Luciferic Brotherhood underground, and real Satanists. And you're not allowed to read the Bible, they say. You're not supposed to. And they may have done many things to keep you from doing it. Let me also say that Muslims really are not allowed, and almost forbidden. You're not going to see a Muslim in a Muslim country holding a Bible open, reading it in anywhere public. But let me tell you right now that it is the most amazing, on a human scale, the backing on the historicity, the archaeological. The manuscript evidence for the New Testament is beyond anything, just on a human scale. You're talking about writers. You're talking about individuals, every one of them, that knew in personal relationship Christ. Some saw him visibly, physically here, the crucifixion, the death, the resurrection, the ascension. Every writer of the New Testament in personal, dynamic, real relationship, knew the living Christ, walked with him. Everyone knew they were being led by the Spirit of God in the inspiration of the New Testament. Let me say clearly that they are living words, that God is in the presence, in the words, literally. Above them, beyond them, of course, but his presence comes through. They're called living words, and that there is power. I guarantee you one thing from all of biblical revelation, Satan does not want anyone to read the scripture, anyone to read the word of God. It's really the language of the Spirit of God. And so I'm going to encourage Muslims. I'm going to encourage anyone listening that does not yet know God. Maybe you're an honest seeker looking. Then all I would say to the Muslim, to the seeker, open up the Gospel of John. And open up the Gospel of Mark. And just simply say, God, show me yourself. And read and read and take your time and read and read. The invitation will be there. The invitation is right now. That God by His Spirit summons, calls, draws, and speaks. The idea of Christ knocking at the door of your heart, your life, wanting to come in. He's right there where you are. He's right where I am here. I know His presence for over 36 years. I know His power and His love in my life. Again, that is why I am here. Now, I'm saying all of this to say that America and the world is engaged with the issue of the mosque and the Islamic Community Center that they're desiring to build right there at Ground Zero in New York. Now, obviously, Americans are going to be outraged. They should have assumed that. But the more that we hear about the fact that there's another mosque just a number of blocks away, a number of other mosques all over the area in New York, the question is why? Why Ground Zero? And the individual backers behind the mosque, the issue of raising the funds, and now they're going to allow anyone from Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, anyone from the Muslim countries to give money. They want to raise $100 million. So the monies that flowed, that actually helped the terrorists fly the planes, and I do believe shadow government connected with Muslim terrorism in all of the design is without question radically evil, and that it killed thousands, that it's really a unbelievable point of insensitivity among any Muslims anywhere. Now, you could disagree with that. But I'm going to say that all of American believers and everyone, there should be massive, massive prayer against this. There should be massive prayer against Nancy Pelosi and a call for a removal of her from office. As she comes out the other day to say that anybody that opposes the mosque needs to be investigated. Well, I oppose the mosque. I oppose the individuals that are anti-American and terrorist connected who are behind the desire for it. If you don't understand that it really does involve the sense of a crowning victory, if you understand the concept of locating the mosque there is no question concerning the backdrop to the reasons. So all across America, you have a right to say, well, I don't know anyone worldwide, because we're now seeing that it, from this site, shatterthedarkness.net, 83 countries as of today, you're downloading the materials. And so I can say welcome to you. And I can say that we've been praying to get into many of these countries. And that I could say that it is an international broadcast, a missionary broadcast, with the overwhelming and central issue, God loves you. God desires you. You can know God, and I point you to the living Christ. No one can say the words that He did. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. If anyone believe in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Jesus on the cross says to a dying, sinning thief, criminal, who turns to Him and receives Him as Lord, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus said He's coming back. And you can look at Revelation. Maybe you've never read Revelation chapter 19. It is about Armageddon. It is about the pinnacle of the Antichrist's power, the supernatural, super soldier military system, and the end of Luciferic globalism in one day, maybe 1 hour. So all of those who are New Agers, all of those who are Luciferic, all of those who are doing the Luciferic invocation at the UN, all of those that are involved in the fallen cherubs' inspiration and development of globalism, you got to understand what it really involves. Not a new day of a spiritual evolution of human consciousness to homo lumos, homo deity. The reverse will be found out. The promise is always big, like in Genesis 3. But on the other side of a satanic promise is a devastating betrayal. And so I'm going to speak clearly that God in Christ gives a clear word of salvation, a clear word of forgiveness, a clear word of having all fear removed, a clear word about the non-violent nature of God's mission to reach others for Christ. So let's not politicize when anytime militaristic political powers either use or take over the institutional church, then again you have a hypocrisy in motion. The nations are going to battle. The nations are going to fight. Jesus said 2,000 years ago that nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom, wars and rumors of wars. Jesus described the end of days as the most violent in all of human history. You want to see prophecy? And again, biblical prophecy is still, it still echoes that 100% detailed, accurate fulfillment. Because it comes from God, infinite presence. Not finite attempts to counterfeit it. Dealing with the issue today, the news I'm listening to concerning the mosque is, it's alarming. And all I would say to American believers and Canadian believers that you have great power in prayer. There is no higher place. There is no greater power. If you read the book of Acts, you will see God coming in great power, in great ways. You read the history of revivals where God's power comes and brings families, brings cities, brings regions, and even brings great power in nations to turn hundreds and even millions to Christ in short periods of time. So I'm saying use every ounce of the grace, the mercy, the power, the work, the gifts of God in unleashing the most powerful, power-packed, power-animated, power-inspired message, the gospel. In front of all of Rome, spirit-led, Paul would say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God. If you're listening, the gospel is the power of God to remove the totality of your sin. Think about it. The totality of your sin, utterly forgiven. When Christ came into my life 36 years ago, instantaneously the Spirit of God comes in and applies the work of Christ at the cross, total forgiveness. Oh, you feel it. You know it. And a new power comes in. He breaks the power of the sin nature, the power of the death code, the power of Satan's rights. Now it is God that lives in you, Christ that lives in you. So I would say with great joy, great love to anyone who's a seeker, who's looking, listening, come to Christ today. Whoever believes on the name of the living Christ, right now, he will come into your life with all of the grace and power and forgiveness, and you will know God. And I point you to the Gospel of John, the Gospel of Mark this week. I would hope that Barack Obama would come out and clearly say what he is, Muslim, Christian. If he's really a Christian, why does he promote as the most abortion-oriented president in all of our history. The death of children. Jesus Christ said that the baby in the womb, Braphos, is a living human child. Jesus said that. You know, so when somebody's a believer, they don't run from prayer and prayer meetings. They don't run from church, and I'm talking about good churches. They're involved. They want to follow the will of God and the love of God, and they're not ashamed of Christ. So, and they will know the difference, really understand the difference. And maybe you're listening right now and you don't realize, listen, anyone reading the Quran, anyone learning the attributes, the existence, the history of Allah, looking at the Quran, looking at Muhammad's life, you've got to decide. Either what the Muslims have cleaned up and said about Allah, the Quran, and Muhammad today, but when you study the literature, the history, the archaeology, and you track it back, you find a massive different story. With that massive different story, you're going to have to decide whether Allah is really God, Muhammad is a sinless prophet, and the Quran is the word of Allah, or that it is absolutely straight from the demonic side. All of history will show, and all the archaeology will show, that Allah was a pagan territorial deity connected to goddess worship, and that Muhammad's father and family line was involved with that goddess, god, deity, pagan deity worship. That it did involve devoted objects of the god and goddesses and so forth, that it involves stones. And you've got to decide it's one or the other, because it can't be both. There's no way in all of the revelations that Allah has given to Muhammad, and please understand, Allah is an Arabic word. Allah is never once, not even once, mentioned in the Old Testament, New Testament, no coming Quran, no Muhammad. All that the Bible teaches about the spirit of Antichrist, all that Jesus taught was that later on there would be false prophets that would come, that would turn people away from the real Christ, that would begin to offer a fake, de-deified Jesus that is no Christ at all, that would come up with a different word and a different message. And hundreds of years later, that's exactly what occurred. Anybody reading about Muhammad is going to read about the fact that Muhammad was involved with a family line, a family bloodline, where the spiritual connection would remain, unless broken in Christ, of goddess worship, of a pagan deity's worship, Allah. Now, it wasn't until the 7th century that the promotion of this pagan deity, territorial entity, spirit, was declared as solely God and so forth. You're going to read the Quran, if you do, you're going to find that it's completely a reaction to the Old and New Testament. It is a document that seeks to become the contrast and the counterfeit, not even the counterfeit, the contrast. It is in direct conflict with Old, New Testament, with Christ, with the words of Christ, with everything God has done in bringing salvation. Muhammad was a man, born as a man, lived in a violent world, married, was divorced by his wife. I've got a book here to my left. It's called The Islamic Invasion by Robert Morey. Now, this is a guy, a scholar, that has also been threatened to be killed because of the book. It deals with the nature of Allah, the attributes of Allah, Muhammad, the development of the Quran, whether it's pure Arabic or not. It deals with the satanic verses. It deals with the black stone. It deals with Muhammad's life, his first wife, the call to be prophet. It deals with his doubts and his suicides. It deals with the concept of inspiration, of him literally blacking out, at times foaming at the mouth, when it comes to the inspiration. It actually lists 22 names of the women that he was involved with as wives. It involves, well, a lot. So to say that Muhammad was sinless is crazy. It's really a reaction or a kind of competitive declaration compared to Christ. We deal with the incarnation. Again, you could reject Christ. If you do, that's you. You could reject the message. But the issue here is, it wasn't just the rejection, it was the absolute changing and turning everything around. And in all cases, when it comes to a cult, even the New Age movement, in engaging Christ and the Word of God, it always begins, and this is the nature, this is the mode of operation, this is the evidence of demonic deception. It is the clear evidence. Number one, to present a different Christ who is not the Savior. A de-deified lesser being. To engage the Word of God and claim that it's no good, but then to bring a revelation that's claimed to be higher and better. It's kind of like they use Christ in the Bible to a degree, but change everything to divert individuals while they offer a new, higher revelation. But in that higher revelation comes the evidence of demonic seduction and deception, as the Spirit of God prophesied, as Jesus said would happen. So this is the issue. This is what we're saying clearly. Allah clearly is a real entity. Territorial. Friday, I'll be speaking about Allah and the connection to the Prince of Persia. It may even be that the territorial presence of Allah is literally attached to the black stone at the Kaaba. It may be, like in all occult circles, and everyone who's a Satanist, and Satanists listening right now, you can send me an email and you can let me know what you think. The idea of spirit attachment to stones, stone objects, stone idols. This is the reason why in the Old Testament days of Manasseh, 2 Kings 21, 22, 23, that Josiah was led to destroy, to crush, to grind down all of these demonized objects, stone objects. Even today, crystals can be charged. What that means is there is spirit attachment, that literally power, the energy and presence and then the agenda of an entity attached to an object can be there and bring influence. There can be power and effect of a charged, a demonized object. And if it's very big and very broad, this is where the point of contact, point of manifestation may be. To dig up the ancient temples, the idols that were demonized, and even in cases like the Mayans and other places where human blood sacrifice would have been done in the drawing of the powers, well, then you've got the attachment that has never gone away. Never gone away. And then to take your hands and lay on that, I'm not saying you're immediately attached to or possessed, but there can be influence. The idea of that sense of presence that brings an influence in minds and hearts. Allah obviously is going to aid and abet the writings of the Quran. Either it's the Word of God or it's demonic doctrine. It's one or the other. I declare and believe without question it is the evidence of demonic doctrine. It has every marking of it. And again, spoken hundreds of years before the Quran was ever developed by one individual. One individual that had doubts, one individual that at one time thought that he might have been possessed, thought that Satan was guiding him and leading him. At one point, believing. Well, let's just touch on the satanic verses. The concept of these verses, and again, you know, Rushdie, who wrote the book, The Satanic Verses, obviously there's a death, he's to be killed for what he's done. And nobody, really, you're forbidden to read the satanic verses. You're forbidden to communicate them. And there's a great denial and cover-up. But again, history and Muslim scholars of the past, other world-renowned scholars of the past, will all talk about the satanic verses, where Muhammad is said to have declared the people to worship the goddesses. That's right. So when you get into this and you begin to read this, you're going to find that you can quote, and though it's been, well, rejected now, and the goal, of course, is to cover the whole issue up, there was at a point in Muhammad's life where not only did he think that he was demonized, but he had a suicide commitment, and only after a supernatural intervention did he stop the suicide, though he still had doubts and fears and so forth. Please understand, if you know how the methodology of demonic inspiration and the ultimate demonic doctrine, it's called Didache of Daimonia. You can read about it in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, where there is an incredible, strong declared, it's as if God the Holy Spirit was to raise his voice to say in the end of days, towards the end, there'll be those that will come that have been invaded by what are called planos spirits, seducing, deceiving. They're going to operate through an individual who has been engaged, mounted, attached, even possessed. The markings of that kind of possession and inspiration could be fainting, foaming at the mouth, being completely taken over, the idea of automatic writing, not even know what you're writing, and you're writing it down, and later on you read it, because the spirit, like in the case of Alice Bailey, dictates and guides. So it is clear that the Quran is spiritually dictated and guided. Now, it is said that Gabriel, the angel, was speaking on Allah's behalf. Again, go to the book of Daniel. Look what Gabriel does. We come to the New Testament. Look at Gabriel in the announcement of the birth of Christ. You can't have it both ways. One is true or the other is. One is systematic and clear and have been received and out there for years, and the other came later as a contrast, as a conflict to the original. And that, my friends, is what it's all about. Now listen, under the presence, power, and the Quran's writing, and again, I've read, and there is no question, you can read it for yourself, about the declaration of cutting off the heads, hands, fingertips of infidels, those who don't submit to Allah. And if there's anyone that submits to Allah and is going to leave, they're supposed to be killed. Muhammad said it himself, kill them. But there's always a way out. There's literally hundreds of thousands of Arabs and thousands of former Muslims that have come to Christ. I have mentioned one on our website, shatterthedarkness.net, right under the Thursday where you click on, I mentioned Reza Safa, former radical Shiite Muslim. Now a strong believer in Christ, preaching Christ all over the world, with now television broadcasts going into the Islamic countries where it can be seen in secrecy. But what's happening is thousands of Muslims are coming to Christ. Instead of the sense of fear of Allah, fear to walk away, fear in the context of, you know, you can get beaten if you don't show up at the mosque. And as I said the other day, in the methodology of territorial spirits having many others underneath them, they need the temples, they need the places that they attach to, where communication and at the very least, a feeling, an energy of something there. And I would agree that at every mosque there is a spiritual attachment, and that all the while the Quran is being read and preached, and by those who are preaching it, there is spiritual inspiration, but not God the Holy Spirit. So it really is a spiritual contrast, and what American believers and Western believers don't understand is that engages us in spiritual warfare. It is all about spiritual warfare. I mean, Muhammad was in the context of spiritual warfare, a battle. God was seeking to reach him, but he violently rejected the Old Testament and Jewish message. He utterly rejected Christ in the New Testament. In the context of a sealed heart, the spiritual bloodline, family, spiritual entity, Allah, and the presence of the goddesses and the presence that would be involved with them, well, they always claim, familiar spirits always claim the children, the next generation, and the family line. Unless that is broken in Jesus Christ. And let me say this real quick. If you're someone who is a Muslim that has now come to Christ, go ahead and renounce. In the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce all attachment to Allah, to the goddesses, to the spirits, to the whole spiritual hierarchy behind the territorial demon Allah. Renounce that, and with the authority that Christ gives you as a believer, you know, break off any concept of connection. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Whether it comes to the occult writings, New Age writings, if it's demonic presence that inspires it, it is a spiritual writing. By reading it and accepting it, you can get the spirit or spiritual attachment demonically. That's true all throughout the New Age movement. That's true in old occultism and the writings of Helena Blavatsky and Barbara Marx Hubbard and what's going on at the UN. So what we need to look at today is not just all this backdrop of Allah, we've already gone over that, what he is, the Quran, what it is, the agenda for world conquest. You can hear Islamic spiritual leaders in France, in Spain, in Indonesia, in South Africa, in Chechnya's, in India, in the United States, you could hear them. The evidence is clear that in the mosques, they're looking for Sharia law. They're looking for to dominate. They want submission. They're on a quest to lead humanity to submission to Allah, thereby extending Allah's work. But I'm going to tell you right now, Allah is directly related, I believe, to the Black Stone issue, because that may be a point of attachment, literal attachment, that brings a drawing. I could talk about the Hands of Glory. I could talk about other objects that are highly demonized, that are at an altar, that the Old Testament Moloch in the slab, or Bohemian Grove and the altar there, highly demonized, which means to be around, and especially if you touch, there can be direct influence direct supernatural demonic activity to draw a person in to the belief system and thus gain a deeper hold. Now, it's without question, I've seen over all these years engaging Muslims at the University of Akron, the concept of fear. When I listened to Reza Safa, the former radical Shiite Muslim, share about the absolute fear that he had concerning Allah. He didn't know Allah. Allah doesn't want to be known. Allah claims in its attributes that he's too high up. One of the issues is the cover-up. Allah doesn't want you to know what he really is. And I want the believer to clearly hear this. Greater is he who lives in you than he who lives in the world. The one that's in the world. Now that's 1 John 4, chapter 4. Take a read. But the authority that Christ gives the believer to trample on the demonic realm, to overcome all the power of Satan. Please understand, if Allah is a territorial power in the satanic, luciferic scheme of things, he would be under Satan himself and play a part in the development of the end of days. And that's what I'm going to mention today. The Blackstone issue, well, again, in my understanding as somebody deeply versed in spiritual warfare, that it involves spirit attachment at the very least. Most likely Allah himself, since he is territorial. Notice that Muslims around the world, they have to face that direction where the entity is located. The extension of the territorial spirit is only extended by the numbers of demonic entities arrayed in the system. Unlike that, God being infinite, the Spirit of God, uncreated, eternal, infinite, you could read Psalm 139. You could read about God's presence, God's Spirit. Where can you go? You're talking about infinite presence. That's why a believer in Jesus, whether a Russian, a Chinese, an Arab, someone in England, in the United States, wherever you are, you can close your eyes and begin to worship. You come to the throne of grace wherever you are on this planet because of the nature of the infinite omnipresence of Christ, of God. The fear issue is there. The spawning of violence is a major part of Allah and the Quran. And I know some people say, well, it's a great world religion of peace. No, it is not. I don't know why people even say that. Because the conflicts, some 80 of them around the world, are all initiated by the violent aspects of Muslim development. Ask the Sudanese, ask those in the Sudan, ask those in Indonesia, ask those in Spain, France, Chechnya, London, around the world. Don't just say that a few have overtaken a great peaceful religion. You got to read the Quran then. You got to read where Muhammad was somebody that killed people, fought in battles, and even was defeated in one battle. You got to understand the violent nature. You got to understand the violent nature of that nomadic time in history continued. That's why many people, scholars specifically, and researchers specifically, they look at the Quran, the Allah issue, as all a 6th, 7th century. It's like going back to that, where, again, the women, look how women are treated, let alone kids. And the concept of freedom, forget it. The concept of being able to go to Saudi Arabia and setting up a tent and preaching the gospel, forget it. You know, the concept like raise a safa to get saved, come to the living Christ, be baptized. Well, the family is under the teaching of the Quran, demonic doctrine, I'm saying. They have to completely reject him, if not have him killed. The, quote, honor killings. And the threat to be killed if you leave. Well, the good news is all around the world, even in Kuwait, other places, Iraq, Muslims have left the fear, left the violence, left the conquest of all of the Quran, and turned to the living Christ and received God's presence. If you read Romans 8, it involves not the spirit of fear, but the spirit who's from God, the spirit of adoption, which enables us from the deepest resources of our being to cry out, Abba, Father, the intimate personal fellowship. This is a great word for Muslim women. I mentioned yesterday on the Wednesday night broadcast of a website that deals with people leaving. many, again, thousands of Muslim women that have broken away, have turned to Christ, looked for freedom. Here's where God the Father, in compassion and love, and of His presence coming in, pulls away fear and allows us to know God in joy, in love, in friendship. God is personal. God is spirit. God is relational. God is infinite, immeasurable, powerful, awesome, yes, but desires to know us. This is the God that created human personality and relationship. This is the God that has come in human flesh. Declaration of the prophets, declaration of the Spirit of God, declaration of the angels of God, declaration of the writers of the New Testament, and declaration of every believer worldwide by the hundreds of millions, whether in, again, China, Russia, United States, doesn't make any difference. The prophecy in Scripture is clear. In the end of days, the gospel that is intended to go worldwide, what is the gospel? Good news. It's simply this. God loves you. God wants you. God provided at the cross a way to know Him personally, to have all sin forgiven, death and hell removed, and the gift of eternal life given. That's the message. That's the good news. And wherever and whenever you are listening to this, the invitation by Jesus Christ Himself, who knocks at the door of your heart if you're not a believer, is simply this, that He wants to come in and bring His love, power, grace, mercy, and living presence. I'm going to tell you right now, read the Gospel of John. If you don't have a Bible wherever you're at, if you're on the web, go to BibleGateway.com. You can get and read the Scripture. You can get the Scripture in an Arabic language also, by the way. Maybe I'll put a link up on Friday to where you can get an Arabic Bible, a really good study Bible, and portions of Scripture. And so let us take tonight and just engage the issue honestly about the Black Stone, what it is, about the satanic verses and their declaration for Muslims to worship the goddesses, the belief that Muhammad may have, and again, you can go to the web and find massive, again, good historical, archaeological, the literature that has been written, it's very clearly historic. Now, it is also, I'm going to say, very clearly historic in the goal of covering it all up. It's one thing for a Muslim to say, I reject the issue of the satanic verses. Okay, but you can't eliminate the fact that they're there and what they said. You can threaten to kill anybody that mentions them. You can threaten to kill a Muslim if they're going to read them. But once again, that demonstrates demonic presence, not the Spirit of God. Not the Spirit of God. Let me bring one other aspect into this today that I think is absolutely vital. I mean, absolutely vital. And you know what that is? That is the issue of the Allah, Quran, Islamic scholar, prophetic agenda. One that is not well known, but should be, when it comes to the Mahdi, a Muslim super being, supposedly down in the earth, that only when massive bloodshed and chaos is absolutely unleashed. And Ahmadinejad not only believes this, and if you do a study on the black flag, the idea of those in the black uniforms, Muslims, those who want to create the bloody chaos in order to cause the Mahdi to come to the surface, to come into power, to annihilate Israel, to go there, and then to rule the entire world from the temple there in Jerusalem. Now, that's the agenda. The ultimate agenda of the presence of Allah. Now listen to what I have to say. You can research it. You can disagree. But I'm going to share what I've what I understand in prophecy, spiritual warfare, the attributes, entity, and agenda of Allah, and what the Quran says. What the Muslim scholars are saying about Mahdi. That it all aids and abed the development of the precursors. I believe that it's all about persuading, gripping, layering Arab and others around the world who submit to Allah, literally layering them with the precursors that will move them to gladly accept the coming Antichrist. Every description that I have read so far of the Mahdi is a description of the Antichristu of 1 John chapter 2, of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, of the book of Revelation's description of the beast. I mean, even when you read Revelation 12 and 13, major, major revelations of the future of the Antichrist, of the false prophet. Even if the Mahdi is the false prophet coming up out of the earth, ascending out of the earth, there are ultimate agendas when it comes to the Allah agenda, the spiritual nature of that agenda. Every bit of it is very similar to what the Spirit of God says, the rise, development, evolution, and eventual global control of Antichrist will be like. As a matter of fact, when you read 2 Thessalonians 2, when you understand Revelation chapter 6, the red horse, when the white horse, the spirit of Antichrist, the birth, the development, when the presence is already out there seeking to develop that conquest, guess what has to happen? Before the apocalypse, now that means the unveiling, that means Antichrist coming to political, global control and power. Please understand, prophecy out of Daniel will tell us that the Antichrist will be involved in the world, in political structure, long before he ascends to the revealed position of Antichrist and seeks global rule. Now, the Antichrist, declared in Scripture, wants to go to the temple, declare himself to be God, become the world ruler, the one that gives the edict to kill all Christians, the one that opens the door for the annihilation of Israel. See, the Antichrist has the goal of annihilating Israel and then eventually to bring a persecution and annihilation of infidels worldwide, of believers in Christ worldwide. Revelation 7. I mean, if you understand the development of Antichrist and the goal of Antichrist and the annihilation of Israel, the eventual martyrdom and killing of all believers worldwide, the goal of annihilation of both. For the sake of world control and doing it out of Jerusalem. That, my friends, is the exact teaching behind the development of the Mahdi. The Antichrist, if you read Revelation 6, the red horse, peace taken from the earth, massive, massive violence, and civil, not just skirmishes of war, but in the Red Horse Revelation, it is the Greek word for butchering. It is even used in the Greek of animal sacrifice. It is violent, bloody insurrection, civil butchering, killing of people indiscriminately. It is a bloodbath. It is a bloodbath, and it is the belief that a bloodbath will open the door for the Mahdi to be revealed to the world and go to Jerusalem and rule from there. It is the teaching that will build the precursor to cause direct, immediate compliance, acceptance, worship of Mahdi, of Antichrist. In the New Age sense, the world teacher. In the alienology UFO issue, a coming super being. Again, let me say this. In your own study of all of this, biblical prophetic revelation has proved itself to be massive, historic, 100% accurate, detailed down to the point that God can say 3,000 years in advance what people will actually say, what they will feel, and what they will do. One of those prophecies is Psalm chapter 2, in which the peoples in mass, the nations collectively, and the rulers, the kings, military, political rulers, that there will be a time when, as in globalism, this critical mass, they're going to take their stand. They're going to rage. But against who? Psalm chapter 2 gives a 3,000-year prophecy and insight to what's going to happen ultimately in Revelation 19:19. Now, you can read about the spiritual power behind Armageddon in Revelation 16. You can really read about the conquest of it in Revelation 17. You can read about the final attempt of it, actual human history in advance, Armageddon. And it all involves a stand against the Lord and the Lord's Messiah, against Christ. The spirit of Antichrist, whether in the New Age movement, old occultism, deep Luciferic work, in all of Islam, the evidence of the spirit of Antichrist permeates, radiates, and rages. The spirit of Antichrist denounce the real Christ and replace with a counterfeit that is not. Listen, we've come to the end of the hour. Thursday evening, August the 19th, in this, well, particular broadcast. You can do a deeper, broader study of the Blackstone issue. It kind of reminds me of the big, well, you can call it a stone, you can call it iron block in the prayer room in the United Nations. I also would say that it is probably also a spirit attachment to that. And that is where the Luciferic invocation has also been spoken. As you and I live in these days, the end of days, believers in Christ must become so strong, so committed to the great mission of God, and compelled by the love of Christ, as missionaries have done throughout all Arab countries, sharing Christ, sharing God's love, sharing how He removes guilt, sin, fear, violence, gives the gift. And you can know that you know that you know in Christ. All believers, become strong in prayer. Remember us and the work of Shatter the Darkness, Preemption Broadcast in prayer. Thanks for joining us. Send us once in a while an email. Tell us where you're listening from. Today, I've prayed over all these places where the downloads go. 83 countries. May God's grace, mercy, and blessing be to you. Hey, remember us in prayer. Remember us if you believe this work is beneficial, important for this day and hour. Remember us in support. Take a look, shatterthedarkness.net. You'll see where it says how you can help. God bless you. See you on Friday night.